You are listening to
Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
What's up, motherfuckers? Welcome back to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass, episode number 87. You literally just told me and I already forgot.
Yeah, it's 87, man. I'm back.
Welcome back, Kevin.
Hello.
Two-week mini sabbatical.
Yeah, it was nice, man. It was nice to get outside of the Northwest for a bit, get outside and get some nice weather. I think that's going to be my yearly routine is during the thick of the winter here in the Northwest, even though we haven't really had that cold of a winter for the Northwest, I want to go down to Southern California during this time of the year.
Yeah, ironically, last week was really nice here.
Oh, so all right.
But yeah, as soon as you got back, it just started pissing on everybody again.
Sounds about right. I was in Vegas last weekend. That was fun.
That's a good idea. So yeah, you went LA into Vegas.
Yeah.
In between the two weekends, did you have to come back here and work?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. So you weren't gone for like 14 days or something.
No, that would have depleted my entire bank account.
Right.
Yeah, so I went down to L.A., and I went for our friend Tim Butcher's memorial service. He passed away late 2015, and so I went down, and they had two big memorial shows for him, one in Sacramento and one in L.A. The Sacramento show, my ride ended up falling through. my friend had to go into work because someone called out or what, you know, just some bullshit. So
yeah,
I wasn't able to make the 6-hour drive, which, to be honest, I was kind of happy in the end that I didn't have to get in the car all day because I went and saw At the Gates and The Haunted. Who else played that? Harm's Way and Decapitated down in Pomona at the Glass House. I'd never been to that venue before. I ate some bomb-ass fried chicken with the Zabalba boys and got to see At the Gates. It was fucking sick. And
that's a hell of a lineup.
Yeah, it was incredible. And the venue was really cool. Got to see some record stores down in the area. Got to go to some fucking sketchy bootleg metal stores. That was
nice.
Really weird. Like, I got this Mexican Slayer patch. It's like one of a kind. Very, very bootleg. Very colorful.
That's awesome.
Very fancy.
Did you bring like an empty suitcase to fill up?
Oh, yeah.
With all your random swaggity swag
memorabilia. One of the other things, so I wanted to really quick mention that the two shows for Tim Butcher were an insane success. They ended up raising $14,000 for his family. About $14,000, and that would be to cover the funeral costs and for everything, because obviously he passed away, but you know, it still costs a lot of money to be in the hospital, and he was in the hospital in a coma for about a week.
That's right.
So
oh god, that's got to be, dude,
very expensive. So.
Tens of thousands, yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, his parents, they're not dead broke or anything, but obviously that's...
it's a lot to have to take on.
It's a big burden.
Especially when you end up, you know, you end up losing him too after that. Just, it's like total... The whole thing just fucking sucks.
Exactly. So I got to see a lot of great bands, reconnect with some friends I hadn't seen in a long time. Nomads were incredible. That new Nomads record is going to be a fucking Punisher of 2016. Definitely have to check that out.
You need to get your hands on that.
Get a hold of it. We have Mike. The whole fucking record, dude.
Oh, let's
we
play
can't be
tonight.
Sleeping on it. Yeah, we got it, man. We'll play a couple songs off it on Metal Shop.
Excellent.
So Nomads was great. Zabalba was great. This new band, Locke, was really, really cool. You probably know Sam. He used to play in Pressure, I think, and he used to also play in Trash Talk. Really tall drummer guy. He sings for that band, and they were great. Also, one of the coolest things about my LA trip was I got to visit the offices of Nuclear Blast and Metal Blade Records. So for the past 6 years, Ian and I have been doing Metal Shop. We've been talking with a couple sweet dudes from both those labels, just emailing back and forth. They send us promo stuff, and we always go through them to do our interviews.
It's a long-distance relationship.
Exactly. So it was really cool to actually meet these people in person. We got to tour the...
finally got to make out.
Yeah, we got to make out. Finally got to give them those... I was promising for so long.
Oh, yeah. See? Thanks for all the records, bro.
Yeah.
Take one for the team.
It's a bro job.
Not gay if you yell Slayer at the end?
No, it's still gay.
Cool.
They hooked up some sick promos, and we got to talk some trash. They gave us some behind-the-scenes look at the record label. Yeah, it was just really cool.
That's cool. And those are two of them that are obviously f***ing huge.
Super
in the
legit,
world.
Yeah.
And, yeah, do cool things for their bands, too. So that's cool. They kind of just opened their home to you.
And then this past weekend, the weekend before after that, well, I came home.
Jesus, how many fucking adventures did you go on?
I came home, and then I worked for 3 days. Well, boo-hoo. I went to Las Vegas for a thing called Ring of Honor, which is a pro wrestling company. It's like a New Day, like ECW, which is like the second to WWE at this point. It's on air, Como 4, 1 a.m., Como 4.
Wow, that reminds me of like public access.
Exactly. It's a 1 hour program. I TiVo it and watch it like the day after. It's really fucking cool. Just awesome wrestling. I mean, dudes like CM Punk, Cesaro, Daniel Bryan, all those guys got their start there. Seth Rollins, they're all former Ring of Honor champions. And it was a Ring of Honor / New Japan Pro Wrestling collaboration show. So I got to nerd out with some friends and just got to go to a few of those events. There was a 5 hour TV taping. They taped 5 episodes of the show. I went to a live pay-per-view. And it was fucking.
Are you going to be on it?
Yeah, I'm actually. It's fucking embarrassing. There's there's an aerial photo of everyone like freaking out, and I'm on my cell phone.
You're just like, this is boring.
Yeah, I'm obviously very stoked.
You're that guy.
Yeah, I'm that guy. But it was really fun. And then when I flew back, I got a text message from Steve Miggs from the morning show, BJ and Miggs, he texted me a photo of an invite that he got from WWE. His contact at WWE was like, hey, you were invited to WrestleMania 32 in Dallas. And he's like, dude, I'm going to be on Radio Row interviewing all the wrestlers, going to WWE WrestleMania for the weekend. And I just responded back like, hey man, if you ever need some help. And in like 5 minutes later, he was like, hey, can you afford that? Could you just, all you need to do is buy a flight and chip in a little bit of money for the hotel. I was like, no, I can't afford it, but I'll fucking do it.
But yeah, let's go.
So I'm going to be the man that's, so they have this thing called Radio Row. So we're going to be actually ISDNing BJ live. So we're going to be in Dallas doing the show.
Oh.
So I got to set up the ISDN line down there in Dallas. Got to talk to Dwight and figure that and then I'm also going to be running around gathering wrestlers to go and interview us live and telling him, like, cueing him when we're back from commercial and all that bullshit. So I get to do that, and then we get to enjoy the weekend.
Are you ready to be up and do that at, like, 5 in the morning or whatever?
Yeah,
what time it is that they're
doing
it?
I'll do it.
Just don't go to sleep.
Yeah, well.
Just get weird.
I'm going to get weird, man. I'll tell you my entire fucking rundown of the weekend. So we're getting in on Thursday. Friday morning, we're doing the show. Friday afternoon, we're going to Access, which is like a fan convention thing with WWE people. And they have all the fucking, like, you get to see, like, Ric Flair's wardrobe. You get to see, like, fucking championship belts, all the stage props. And then they also have wrestlers you can meet. They have, like, rings you can jump in. And then Friday, we're doing that. Then Friday night, we're going to this thing called NXT, which is, like, WWE developmental. It's essentially like the stars of WWE in the next 2 years will be starting there. It's its own show on the network. Getting really deep nerdy with this right now. Saturday afternoon, we're going to be going to Ring of Honor because they also set up down in Dallas as well to run to kind of gather as many wrestling fans for their product in the same area. So we're going to be going to Ring of Honor. Then Saturday afternoon, we're going to be... No, this, and then Saturday, we're going to go to the Hall of Fame ceremony, where they're going to induct Sting. And then Saturday night, we're going to go see Jim Ross do a live spoken word performance at like 11 p.m.
That I would love to see.
Yeah, that's going to be fucking awesome. And then Sunday morning, we're going back to Access again. And then WWE, WrestleMania. And then we're maybe going to get some sleep. I doubt it, though.
Probably not.
Probably not.
You guys are going to be running around.
It's going to be fucking sweet.
We're going to hopefully
go to Vinnie Paul's strip club.
That's in Dallas?
Yeah.
What's it called?
I don't know.
It's got some hilarious...
It has BYOB, though, so you can bring, like, a fucking 12-pack.
You should. Bring a 12-pack of Surge.
I'll do it. I'll be the fucking designated driver for Miggs. He'll have some time. I know he's married, but he can get down. Hopefully his wife doesn't listen to this podcast. I know she doesn't.
I highly, highly doubt it. She's going to be like, hey, I heard your podcast. Be like, what? No. Yeah, listen every week, man.
Yeah, well, your week was fucking sick. You got to play a few shows, and you opened for Suicidal Tendencies.
Yeah, that was weird. Super last minute. I got a text from the singer of my other band, because I play guitar in two bands, and he said, hey, we just got offered to play for Suicidal Tendencies, and it was 2 fucking days before the show.
Okay.
And so everyone in my first band my band that I wrote the music for. Yeah.
Okay.
I just didn't feel like it was a good idea. Like, we're not ready for it. We haven't been practicing. Like,
so you got the offer for The Loss.
Right.
Okay.
And then I was like, no, I don't really want to do that. And everybody else in my band kind of just, we were all on the same page with that. Sure. We were like, yeah, it's probably just not going to, it's not going to make
it's
us look good.
It's not going to do anything good,
yeah,
for you.
Exactly.
It'll only creep bad things.
It'd be cool and fun as an experience.
In theory,
but like, yeah.
In practice, not
but
so much.
Nah. So, and I've like been practicing tough with the Hilltop Rats because they just are a little more on their you know? They have like a more regimented, because a couple of the dudes have kids, so it's a very specific time that we have every week, so it's got to happen every week at a certain time.
It's like a part-time job.
Kind of, yeah. So we got up there, dude, and like I was telling you earlier, they opened the doors.
How did that work, though? The offer was just transferred?
Oh, yeah, and so I said, I don't want to do that, and it was our buddy Michael Spadoni who works at the Showbox.
Sure, yeah.
Like, I know Michael individually outside of this. And I was like, but we have this other band. And so they just sent it off to the, I don't know if it's like a label person or a tour manager.
Okay.
Somebody from the Suicidal camp had to like listen to one of our songs on Bandcamp or whatever, just to make sure we're not like a fucking Alan Jackson cover band or something. So, yeah.
To make sure that you are.
They approved it. I didn't hear back from them for a couple of days. And I was just like, all right, man, it's probably not going to happen. And then the morning before the show, they were like, okay, you guys are on. We'll see you there.
You're like, we'll really be able to promote this one.
Yeah. And then I was just like, what do we need to do? He's like, don't worry about it, man. The show's like has like 20 tickets left.
Jesus.
So it was sold out before the doors even opened.
So you didn't even need to like
I didn't have to do
much.
Anything. We just got like put onto this
you
awesome
didn't have to sell tickets.
Like opening up an evening with Suicidal. Like what the
you were
when
the
is
only
that
other band?
Yeah.
That's so savage.
And it was awesome. But I think it was a Thursday night. So it was like Thirsty Thursday, and motherfuckers were drunk.
That was
so
crazy.
Drunk.
That was a good night for metal, man. Like, there was not only was there that sold out Suicidal show, but I went and saw Children of Bodom over at El Corazon, and then right up the street at the Highland was Bongzilla.
Right.
So there was like fans of thrash, fans of, you know, fucking
it was a good
weird
night to
death
be out.
Metal, fans of.
We
fans
took
of
over the town.
Stoner.
But yeah, I don't know what happened with that, because it was supposed to be Megadeth, and you were saying that the Megadeth Suicidal Children of Bodom tour was in...
It was in Las Vegas.
Las Vegas when you were down there. But the tour split, and so for 2 days...
They were going up against each other.
Yeah.
That's
in
weird.
The same town, like in Seattle and Bend. I don't know what happened.
Man, it should have just been... I mean, I'm cool with Megadeth dropping off. It should have just been Suicidal and Children of Bodom.
But I was fine with it, because watching Dave Lombardo play... For Suicidal Tendencies was so awesome.
Did you get to smoke another blunt with him?
No, but we met him after the show.
Yeah.
And got like a picture with him.
Sweet.
They had, and this was my one of my favorite things I think I've ever gotten from a show was, first of all, I stole a guitar pick from them.
Cool.
Off the top of his amp, because I just had to. And Dean, their original guitar player they've had, you know, since the 80s.
Yeah.
God damn, those dudes fucking shred so hard. Every single person in that band just fucking goes off. I love that. But anyway, they had these like 6x8 prints, and it was like Dave Lombardo and Mike Muir like standing together, like hard styling.
That's fucking sick.
And so I got that, and then I got them both to sign it.
That's awesome.
And so one thing that I've really been meaning to do, I just really haven't had the time to do it, is I want to make like, and I think I got inspired from my buddy's guitar pick collection that he has like a little openable case that he like, you know, adds, you know, to it.
Sure.
But you and I, between the two of us, have so many pictures and like press passes and autographs and
yeah.
I want to start making like little, you know, little Martha Stewart-y fucking arts and crafts, like matted framed photos, and so I can just get all of that together and up on the wall, so I don't like lose it in a move or like when I set my house on fire on accident.
I set aside all my press passes, and I put those I have those framed in my apartment.
Yeah, yeah.
But as far as pictures, I just need to go and put them on a CD, and bring them in and get them actually printed out on like nice, you know, fucking.
Yeah, you should, I'll go through my computer and see what I have, and then you should compile what you have too.
And go to like Rite Aid and get them printed on like nice paper.
I mean, I have a decent printer.
Oh, that'd be cool.
So we can do that.
We could also.
What's up, Rhyme?
Bootleg some money.
What do you mean bootleg some money?
Make some
like
fraudulent
copy $100 bills.
Yeah.
Sorry, I hope the FBI is not listening to this.
FBI, what up?
I highly doubt it. I know Ryan, he does too. And so what I've been trying to do more recently is get on more on top of like getting something autographed.
Yeah.
So I can get the picture and then that thing and put it together. And I'm...
That autographed knife by Chris Barnes is floating around here somewhere.
Exactly. Is that in the locker still where they're
No, I think people were using it to cut their sandwiches.
Yeah, because it was sitting on the thing and like I came back out here and there was like fucking mayonnaise on it. Just and I was like, what?
Well, it was sitting in the kitchen sink. I snagged it out of there and cleaned it off and put it back in the locker.
Who signed this? I remember I think I was talking to Ashley in the promo department. She's like, who signed that? I was like, it's fucking Chris Barnes. She's like, really? I just cut that to cut my sandwich with that.
Well, that's a pretty metal way to cut your sandwich, I guess.
Seriously. It's good times. Anyways, good
so
times.
So, Ryan, Ryan was late to the podcast because he was
jamming out to Cryptopsy.
Like, just walked back in from it. So, did you see them?
Were I got to see all of Cryptopsy. It was awesome.
How was Flo Monnier?
Man, I got to say, that band is so goddamn on point. They really tore it apart. It was awesome. Really glad I got to see them. I haven't gotten to see Cryptopsy before. I've been trying
never have
to for a
either.
While.
I never have either, Ryan.
Me neither.
Oh, well.
Yeah, f*** you.
Thanks, Ryan.
Guess I made it.
Twist the knife slowly, bro.
Feel bad
we
right
can just
now.
Cut your head off and wear it like a hat.
Yeah, cut our head off and wear it like the nun so vile, like Jesus.
I think that's John the Baptist.
Oh, yeah. Well, I saw The Witch last night. Pretty good movie. I wouldn't say it's a movie you really need to see in the theater, but it's creepy as f***, and the goat in that movie is so f***ing metal.
That's tight.
Dude. Hell yeah. Just pay attention to the goat.
Is that going to freak you out when you see goats now?
Yeah, it will. It's a very slow...
You're like, get away from me, goat.
It's a very slow plotting movie. It's not... Like, if you're like, oh, it's a horror movie, and don't go in expecting it to be really a horror movie. Just expect it to be like a... Kind of a creepy drama.
It's not like a bunch of jump scares and like...
No, not really. There's a few that are really creepy. I went with someone who was expecting it to be like a slasher. It's definitely not that.
Gotcha.
But it's just creepy.
So you can like get it, watch it at home while you're smoking a blunt or something.
Don't watch it when you're tired because it's very slow building.
You have to like intently watch it.
Exactly. It's good though. It's cool.
I went to go see Gods of Egypt the other day.
Yeah? How was it?
Blindingly white and horrible.
Yeah,
it was just a bad
It didn't look
movie.
Very good
it looked
to me.
God awful. But I like the premise.
I mean, yeah, the premise
if
was
if
cool.
They did it well.
What do you mean blindingly white?
Everybody was white.
Oh, okay.
The entire cast.
You're like, I'm sorry. What's this movie called? Gods of Egypt?
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, surrounded by white
was
people.
Was Nile in it?
The guy who played Ra was an Irish dude. And he had red hair,
Jesus,
man.
Was it Seamus?
Are you serious?
Ugh, yeah, it was
so
bad.
Stupid.
It was bad. Lots of cleavage, though. So, you know, if...
Okay. But, well, cleavage,
to pay for
but
that.
Were there any actual boobies?
No.
Was it like the
Worthless.
Immortals movie? Remember that Immortals movie?
No. What,
I like
that
movie.
It was all right.
I like that movie. I like the second 300, too. It was really good.
I never saw that.
That was good. You can see, what's her name? Naked.
Oh, yeah.
There's a bunch of naked people. Naked and dead people.
Yeah.
Makes for a good movie.
Pretty metal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw Hail Caesar.
Yeah.
Who was in that?
George Clooney. I'd say that's a Netflixer. Netflix and chill.
You know, I got a bit of a story I wanted to talk about that happened the other week. I was down in my basement, and I heard somebody kind of creeping around outside by the driveway. I saw some lights kind of through the window.
Oh,
and I
like
only have
somebody
the,
escaped the chains from
well,
your basement?
Well, I only had the one little window down there, so when somebody walks past it, they have to be in the driveway in order for that to be affected. So I didn't know what was going on because it was the middle of the night, and I saw lights through the window, so... I walked upstairs and there was somebody out in my backyard with a flashlight. And so.
Who the f?
I grabbed my bat because I don't have a gun.
We call that shotgun time, baby.
Yeah. So I kind of watched the flashlight as the person went along the side of the house and they were kind of looking in all the windows and I kind of followed them and tried to stay low out of plain of view. And then I saw him go up on your porch, go up onto my porch. And now the way the laws work is if somebody's on your property, you can do something about it. But. If you injure them, it can kind of get to be a grayer. If they're actually in your house...
They can
house,
sue you, yeah.
Yeah, if they're actually in your house, then it's a lot more black and white. It's straight up self-defense.
Yeah.
So when the front door is open, the landing area of your house counts as the interior of your house.
Sure.
And so if they're on your front porch, you can then do something about it. So they were on my porch trying, you know, I saw him trying the doorknob. So I carefully went up right by the door, and keep in mind, I'm in my underwear and just like big ass bat, and I'm like, kind of pump myself up a little bit.
The front or the back door?
The front door.
Okay.
So I yanked the door open as hard as I could and like tried to jump, like almost jumped out of the door, and I was mid swing, and this guy jumps back and goes, "Whoa, hey, I got you the pizza!" And my fucking roommate had ordered pizza, had his headphones on, didn't hear the guy knocking or calling or anything. All the lights in the house were out. I almost broke the guy's jaw, man.
I got the pizza.
It was this Italian stereotype guy just delivering the pizza.
Oh, it's a me, Mario. Why you hit me with the bat?
You should have clocked him and stolen the pizza. That's
get off my porch.
How pissed were you at your roommate?
Dude, I was mad.
Isn't that Dave?
No, it wasn't Dave. It was Adam. I turned around.
You should have hit him with the bat.
And Adam saw me standing there with the bat, just like shaking my head as I walked back to my room. And he's like, oh, dude, I'm sorry, man.
Good job, boner.
That's why I don't have roommates.
Well, I mean, if that's I would agree with you about it being shotgun time, but at the same time, if I would have been armed, I might have actually fired.
Like, for real? I believe you.
Yeah. I was on edge. That pizza guy might have gotten.
Well, dude. Okay. Here's the other thing. Like, I've delivered over the course of my life, I've delivered pizzas as a job for probably about 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I've delivered my fucking decent amount of pizzas myself.
And you see some weird when you're delivering pizzas.
Yeah, but you know what I don't do? Walking through someone's backyard with a flashlight and stuff.
Yeah.
I go to the front door and knock, and if they don't answer, I call. And if they don't do anything, I call my manager, and I go back to the shop.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I'm not going to, like, go above. I'm not going to go, like, climb through the window and be like, here's your fucking pizza. Like, what? Like, what's your deal?
Yeah,
walking around in the yard in the middle of the night, it's just sketch.
I mean, super he was sketch. All the way in the back of the house with a flashlight out, like a big-ass mag light. Like, that wasn't just a phone light. Like, you can tell from a distance that somebody's using a cell phone light or, like, a big-ass flashlight.
Like, it's Marv from the Sticky Bandits. He's just rolling up to your house.
Yeah, man.
He's going to fill up your sink full of washcloths and turn the water on and leave. Well,
damn.
I'm glad that you didn't have to bust a cap or...
knock some heads,
bust a skull with a baseball, a nice Louisville slugger.
Well, I would have felt awful. I mean, if I would have actually hit the pizza guy, I feel like there's a special place in hell reserved for people who f- with delivery people. You know, I mean, that's just.
But you ever heard of the Darwin Award?
Oh, hey,
that's a quick way to get yourself there. Also,
gnarly
pizza lives matter, man.
Pizza does matter.
Pizza so, does matter.
Have you seen Deadpool yet, Ian?
No.
Oh, you got to check that one out.
I know.
So we can't talk about it yet.
All right.
I just don't have much time to get to the theater. And here's the other thing. My
you
buddy,
can find it online.
My buddy that was pirating his movies got his internet shut down by saying...
Oh,
because I guess what you do when you're doing torrents, and I do not condone this because I actually don't do it. That's why I have other people do it for me. But what happens is when you get the torrent, you're supposed to like get the movie or whatever and then delete the file, like burn it to a thing or just on an external. And he forgot to delete his file. So what happens is other people start downloading
seeding
it from
it,
you.
Yeah.
And so like a bunch of people downloaded these movies off from like his account, and like CenturyLink sent like a cease and desist to his house. So he had to call him, pay him like $30. And they were like, okay,
damn,
go about your business.
Here, check this out. So write this down if you're listening to the podcast right now. And Ian, take this note. You can, if you have a decent internet connection, you know, obviously you probably should. It's no one's on dial-up anymore. Just go to rainiertamayo.com. And okay. It's like another country. They have this service.
Oh,
you've used
servers
it before,
are in
right?
another country.
No, I use it all the time. I'm just not too sure how I feel about massive people suddenly flooding the website.
Well, either way,
that'll be a test of how massive our audience
is.
Yeah,
exactly. So Tim Berkeley starts watching it. essentially, what you do is you just click on any movie you want, and it's just like a Netflix, but it's free. It's all streaming. I mean, it's totally illegal, but because it's in another country, and you can't get in trouble because you're just streaming.
Hey, man, I'm just streaming, bro.
You can get in
trouble.
I'm
just streaming, bro.
I was just streaming the child porn.
Oh, my God. Let's talk about special places in hell.
Deep web, Ryan the Beard.
I need to go grab a beer.
All right, so Ryan the Beard, Abysmal Dawn Crush tonight. They were really good. And the funny thing about the show is that You, me, and Ian all got similar Cryptopsy shirts. In fact, we all got the same Cryptopsy shirt.
We did indeed. It's did we take the picture yet?
We haven't taken the picture. It is the None So Vile album cover with John the Baptist having his head cut off, and it's the classic None So Vile Cryptopsy. I decided to go ahead and get it in long sleeve because it's got the many Cryptopsy logos down the sleeve, and I'm a big fan of these sleeve print shirts. Got the long sleeve. Ian's got the short sleeve. Ryan's got the long sleeve. We're going to be rocking out with the Cryptopsy gang.
Cryptopsy crew.
The Cryptopsy boys.
I like that bands take credit cards these days, but I also don't like that bands have credit card machines because that means that I go further into debt. It's okay, though.
Well, whatever.
It's worth it.
We just...
You know what? I'm okay with being the Cryptopsy boys. Have you guys heard about the African gangs that are all named after metal bands?
Yeah.
Or the Australian gangs, rather. Yeah.
Who wants to be in the Chelsea Grin gang?
I remember watching a documentary on it, and they were hanging out with the Metallica boys, and they're hanging out on this beach, and somebody starts shooting at them. So they just started running away.
Jesus.
And the camera guy turns to one of the guys, and he's like, "What's happening? Who's shooting at us?" And he's like, "Yeah, we shouldn't have been on that beach. It was the Evanescence crew."
Oh.
Are you serious?
Yeah, dead serious.
Metallica versus Evanescence. What's that shitty song that Evanescence does?
All of them?
Wake me up!
Oh, that's
get
it,
up inside!
Imagine them, like, blasting that shit as they roll the windows down and do a drive-by on a bunch of dudes.
So well, bringing it back to my trip, when I went to that f***ing, that sketchy bootleg f***ing metal store in Pomona, I bought that Slayer patch I was talking about, and the chick who was working there was wearing a Linkin Park t-shirt, and she goes... Oh yeah, when you find these bootleg one of a kind patches, you really got to pick them up. That Slayer one is beautiful. She's like, when I saw an Evanescence one come in, I knew I had to get it because I didn't get to go to the Evanescence concert when they played,
wow.
And it was amazing.
The dream is alive.
And I was like, you're right. Yeah, totally.
The dream is alive.
Wake me up.
You should have asked her if that patch woke her up.
I think it woke her up inside, definitely. All right, let's talk about some news. There's a lot of good stuff going on in the world. What do we want to start with today? I think, what was it? Oh, we got a super group. There's a new
Asphalt
super band on the block.
Graves.
Yeah, tell me about it.
So Jason Netherton of Misery Index, he was also in one of the founding members of Dying Fetus. Adam Ferris from War Torn. Brent Pergeson from Guar. And Shannon Lucas from formerly of the Black Dahlia Murder, the drummer. Have a new band called Asphalt Graves. They have a new track called Angst and Praise online. It is on Vitriol Records, which is pretty sweet. It's Justin Smith of Graf Orlock and Ghost Slim.
Nice.
Runs the record label, and they're going to be putting this out. So let's check out a little bit of this Asphalt Graves.
Skip in like halfway.
Damn,
this is awesome. This is tough. That's the dude that's in Guar right now, right?
Yeah.
That's gnarly.
I love it.
Nice new music, man.
Definitely awesome. Cool. Let's keep that thought going. Has anybody gotten their hands on the actual Anthrax, the new disc yet?
I have not gotten it. No.
Just came in or came out this last week, and I haven't heard anything except for the one other song that we played before. I think it was, yeah, Breathing Lightning. This is another new Anthrax song. The video is super creepy and has Brian Posehn in it, if you know who that is.
Nice, dude. He's just creepy altogether.
I'm gonna get into the actual meat of this. This is my design. There's no right. And Phil Anselmo apparently is in this video.
Sounds powerful.
Are we sure this is Anthrax?
See, here's why I was asking if you guys had heard anything else off this, because this is like the song they're trying to push, you know? But, dude, this is super violent. Like
the video?
Yeah. It's like it's just like medieval torture scenes and murdering.
Gnarly.
Like this dude just like executing people.
And playing chess.
Anyway, let me skip in here. Yeah, anyway, I don't know. I'm like honestly not the hugest fan of that, but just for no other reason than it's not like grabbing me right away. Maybe I can listen to it a little more and
yeah,
then I'll like it. I'll give him a shot, dude. I mean, it's fucking Anthrax. They rip. So
the Faceless have reportedly dropped off another North American tour. God, it seems like that band just keeps dropping off of tours left and right.
It seems like that band has just been a bad luck, string of bad luck. And like, they're going to break up almost and then get back together. Their singer and guitarist. Yeah, it just seems like nobody can get along with that guy.
What they said is that the replacement singer that they had lined up backed out because his other band didn't like it.
Oh.
So that's pretty much the long and short of it. Which sucks because that's a great tour to be on, the Between the Buried and Me and August Burns Red tour. Maybe next time. Hopefully they can get it together. Discharge has a new song coming out. When I first saw that title like a week or two ago, I was like, great, did some new band not Google their band name and name themselves Discharge? Because I didn't believe it. I was like,
yeah,
new music from Discharge? It is awesome. So the new record's coming out.
Nuclear Blast.
April 29th. The record's called End of Days. Here is Hate Bomb. Or at least part of it. It's awesome. I really want to see him play. They said on their new video, they said, no thought-provoking lyrics on this song, just 2 minutes and 8 seconds of anger. Play it loud.
It's killer.
So, yeah.
Yeah, man. Fuck yeah. So,
what a time to be alive.
When I was down in LA, got to stop by Metal Blade, like I was saying, and I got to see the artwork for the first ever Metal Massacre compilation, which features
awesome.
Misspelling of the Metallica track listing. So there's misspelled Metallica with like three L's, which is pretty funny, and two T's. So they misspelled that, but Metal Massacre is an institution. It's really like springboarded Metal Blade, and that's where they first heard the Slayer, first heard Metallica, and now they're going to be coming out with a new Metal Massacre, Metal Massacre 14 in 2016. It's going to feature 13 bands that this dude from Primordial, what's his name? Alan Averill. He compiled the track listing. He has put together the compilation. He said, it's an institution. It's been dormant for too long, and these are bands that embody the DIY feel that Metal Massacre started.
Awesome.
So, should be pretty cool. Some of the bands are Metallion, Noctum, Gate Creeper, awesome, awesome band. Cobra, Stone Dagger, Visigoth, Raven Cult, Corsair, Outcast. It's going to be good, man. I definitely guarantee it'll be a fucking ripper of a compilation. And compilations are something that you don't really see that often anymore.
Well, it's the kind of thing where, like, you know, you used to... and this is weird to say, and it makes me feel fucking old. Like, I think we're the last of a kind of a generation that had to go fucking buy music, had to go somewhere and get your shit. So like the only way that you would find out about other bands is like reading the liner notes and stuff. And so them creating another reason to purposefully seek out new stuff, I think is awesome. Mm-hmm. And just on the purpose of, like, I would probably listen to way more music if I had somebody, like, handing me, like, check this out, you know?
Totally.
A friend of mine, you know? So that's a really good, you know, way to promote. Good for them.
I feel like I owe more than half of my current musical taste to compilations that I used to buy when I was in high school. Those $7 to $10 comps that you could get at, like, Hot Topic and the record store and things like that.
Half of it would be, like, total turd pile, then half of it would be, like, pretty decent or totally ripping.
That's how I first heard Hatebreed. That's how I first heard Neurosis, Reach the Sky, No Innocent Victim.
Mastodon.
Earth Crisis, Buried Alive. Yeah, Mastodon off the Relapse comps. Nauseam. Yeah. A lot of really good bands. I got a Tooth and Nail compilation where I first heard Zayo and Strong Arm and Stretch Armstrong. It's one of the first, like, harder bands I really listened to.
I used to always buy the Metal for the Masses comps. Like, as soon as they'd come out, I'd go out and buy that right away, and it was like 100 bands for $10 or something like
that.
We used to do that here.
Oh yeah.
Like, I don't think that they do that anymore because of the way the music industry's changed. Mostly.
Yeah.
It's, like, harder to get rights to stuff because people are super stingy. Sorry, I got, like, something buzzing in my right earphone.
I'm watching you, like, sit there and just kind of tap on
your ear.
It's
bugging the out of me. It's like I literally have,
tinnitus,
like,
motherfucker.
It's like I have a little bug in my fucking earphones repeating back everything everyone's saying in a super annoying voice. It's fucking weird.
Damn, Daniel!
Speaking of which, Phil Labonte is back on the fucking podcast
your
again.
Your favorite. Your fave.
At first, I thought this said Phil Anselmo, and so I was like, oh my god, he just dug himself a hole. So here's the title of this article.
The other Phil.
Phil Labonte retweets a homophobic and xenophobic tweet from a white power Twitter account.
Fantastic. Are you surprised, though? Are you surprised?
Not at all. But he's just like, f*** it.
I like his Twitter response. Somebody called him out and said, I think you've posted Twitter that you shouldn't have, and linked him to the news articles, and he just said, it was a retweet, and I was funny.
Okay, yeah, this is the guy who called the vocalist of Black Veil Brides a faggot, and as well as Republican candidates who oppose privacy rights, claiming that I call everyone in my band a faggot, and tweeting the hashtag feminism is cancer. Just last year, he appeared on MSNBC to defend his use of homophobic slurs. I believe
Dude,
we played that.
No
on
more
the
All That Remains on Metal Shop, period.
Yeah. No, I'm pretty sure. Did we officially.
Well, let's make
not
it
yet.
Official.
Can
now.
We make it official?
Not that we really care for that band too much.
Let's do it tonight. I don't know. Let's just do.
Wait, let's just not even
like,
talk
yeah,
about
I just
them.
Don't even want to. But, like, the picture is. It's a retweet from a straight up white power site that he. That they looked
he
up
follows.
And he follows. Like. He follows them and, like, sees it and f-ing likes it and retweets it, clearly. So, you know, at this point, it's the kind of thing where, like, this is becoming a bigger societal
There's something going on
thing.
With guys named Phil.
It's it's this, like, apologistic attitude towards f-ing racism and xenophobia and homophobia where it's, like, it's cool again.
Hey, dude.
To be a f-ing basher or whatever, you know, whatever... like terms people used to throw around, you know, it's like acceptable now. People are like coming back out of the closet, ironically, of their racist, you know, weird backwards ideologies.
I really wish that would stop being a thing. I mean, it's
down with Phil's.
I thought it was getting better.
No more Phil's.
But
hashtag no Phil's.
Thanks, Phil.
Dude, whoever named Phil, that's their fault.
Uncle Phil.
Somebody named Phil's gonna listen to this and just be like, dude. Bummer,
dude.
He's like,
could
yeah, you're
Phils
right.
Phils knock it off.
Hey,
we suck.
F*** you.
gigantic tour announcement this week. It's like a five, six band package. It's Soulfly, Battlecross, Suffocation, Abnormality, and Lodi Kong.
Lodi Kong's always playing those Soulfly tours. Is
that his kids' band?
Yeah,
or whatever?
His kids.
Yeah, of course.
Makes sense.
Whatever. I mean,
man,
if they're good.
I love Battlecross. I'm stoked for that, man.
I love Suffocation. I love Abnormality.
That's
yeah,
a
man.
Big tour.
Should
so,
be beastly.
You know what that means? No crappy openers. It's going to be May 15th at Studio 7, and I shouldn't really say that because I am the crappy opener more often than not.
True.
So it's going to be May 15th, which is a Sunday.
Oh, cool. We can actually go.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Wisconsin bands unite against Scott Walker for a charity compilation.
This is awesome. So Scott Walker was one of the GOP presidential candidates this time. He was the first one to drop out.
Okay.
So if you recognize his name, That's probably
Scott one. Walker. A bunch of local punk, hardcore, metal, and indie musicians have teamed up against Governor Scott Walker. Yeah, so they've gathered together to release Unintimidated, Wisconsin Musicians Against Scott Walker, a compilation CD DVD that will raise funds for issues that Governor Walker repeatedly detests. Yeah.
Great, thanks. Thanks for controlling vaginas, penis owner.
So, yeah, you can check it out. It's called Unintimidated, Wisconsin Musicians Against Scott Walker. Definitely give your money to that thing.
Here, I got something to say. Remember how much, like, pissed off, like, and angry and really awesome, like, punk and metal and hardcore there was during the George Bush era?
Oh, yeah.
Same thing with the Reagan era. And this is the thing to say, but it's like the only silver lining on the cloud of like a potential Trump presidency.
We would get so much good music.
Yeah. Think about it.
Oh no. Think about it.
I'd be embarrassed, dude.
I already am embarrassed.
It's like everyone's laughing.
We're
laughing at ourselves. The thing is now it's I mean, we can go down this wormhole if you want, but there's now it's like I'm listening to a lot of talk radio, watching a lot of CNN, watching a lot of Fox News, all these news channels, all the Republicans are now finally going, whoa, wait a second.
Yeah,
let this go on too long.
Yeah,
we didn't eliminate this fucking disturbing rat of a human being, and now he's gaining so much momentum that they were kind of laughing about it, like, oh, it'll die off.
Yeah, it was a
joke. And now he's number fucking one.
And it has been. He's been number one the whole time.
Did you guys see the takedown that John Oliver did on him?
Oh yeah,
that's one of the best things I've ever seen. He exposed his Trump's real last name. Like,
oh
his,
yeah, I saw.
Yeah, Drumpf.
Right.
I love it, man. And like that whole thing, he just goes through really, really breaks it down.
Yeah, it's just crazy. I'd like to say that it's funny.
It's not funny
to
anymore.
Watch the Republican Party fall apart, but no,
they're making dick jokes about each
other. Here's
now.
The other thing, though. It's happening on the Democratic side also. Like, the DNC and Debbie Wasserman Schultz is controlling the entire Democratic process right now. Mm-hmm. And they're just media blackouting Bernie Sanders and setting up the debates on, like, nights of, like, the playoff football games, Saturdays when nobody, you know, nobody's watching TV, people are out.
Mm-hmm.
It's just weird, man. And so I think both parties and the whole thing just needs a whole, like, overhaul. Like, we need to relook at the entire thing. Clearly backwards on both sides.
And that's why people want Trump, because he's not a politician. I mean, that's what essentially he's not a part of that system either way. And that's why he's so appealing to so many people, which is scary.
The last thing I'd like to say about this is I was reading and watching news clips about the controversy popping up about Trump University.
Oh yeah.
Where he got people to pay him like $36,000 each to show up to this like convention. Where when they show up, they go, yeah, well, you can learn such and such, but if you really want to get to the next level, you have to take Trump University Elite or whatever it was. And then they do it again, and he didn't even show up. They were taking pictures next to a cardboard cutout of Donald Trump for like $40,000.
That's sick.
So, yeah, and then a bunch of people never even got what they, and so they're all suing him. It's just like, he's literally a con man. And it's working.
Yeah. Well,
whatever. People all have different. My mom keeps telling me the two things you got to stop talking about are politics and religion, because it just pisses everyone off. But dude, it's dangerous times. Even my like more conservative family members are like, whoa, this is scary, dude. This is rough.
Because, so, yeah. Well, anyways.
Anyway, to bring it back, I just think it's cool to see musicians like gather together around a common idea.
Remember Rock Against Bush compilations?
Right. It's, yeah, same idea. But, yeah, it's cool. And, I mean, like, if you feel outspoken enough to, like, be an artist and be in a band and say what's on your mind, you might as well put your money where your mouth is and get the fucking bad guys out of office.
Somebody start a punk band called Drumpf. Just do anti-Donald Trump songs.
It's on the way. Okay, so remember when we had Metal Church in here?
Of course.
A couple weeks ago.
That was awesome.
They were going to go on, they were launching their tour and stuff. So Rick Van Zant was in here with us, and apparently like the day before that they were going to play their show down in Aberdeen, he like separated his cornea from his eyeball.
Jesus.
So I didn't, it never said, but he was like, yeah, he had to go have like emergency eye surgery.
Jesus.
So he's been, you know, they've been trying to like fill in pieces, you know, getting people to fill in for him, but they just announced that ex-Savatage guitar player Chris Caffery is going to be filling in for Rick on the entire rest of their U.S. tour, which is rad. So you can get like old school, very legit.
Damn.
Savatage, Metal Church.
Dude, I'm still trying to process that. Your eye separating from the cornea?
Yeah, because it's like a lens, you know?
Yeah. God.
You ever watch eye surgery? They like peel it back. Oh, yeah. It's gross.
Oh, man.
It's gross.
Last night, our friend of the show, Brian Skiffington, he broke his wrist at a show down in Tacoma, and he's going to head out to a show. He's supposed to head out on tour with Dead Weight. So he's looking for a drummer to fill in the entire. Hey, what's Dave doing this week?
Dave's working and playing Dark Souls.
I was going to say.
AKA just playing Dark Souls. How did he break his hand?
Playing the show. I don't fucking know. It's probably something to do with...
I thought he did it at work.
Maybe. I don't fucking know. I'm just making things up.
But I do
know that he broke his wrist.
I saw the picture and his hand was just smashed.
Yeah, smashed.
Like a pancake.
Man.
Just broken.
It's gross. The Slipknot Marilyn Manson tour is coming to the Northwest. We didn't have the dates until this week, and it's going to be Saturday, June 11th at the White River Amphitheater.
That's awesome. We're actually going to be having tickets to that in the next few weeks. We're going to be having some tickets to give away on air.
Cool.
To Slipknot and Manson.
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to be there because we got to do this.
The beautiful people. I'll be doing Blow with Marilyn Manson.
There you go.
Bruh.
It's going to be hard to top that last Pain in the Grass, though.
That's true.
Okay, so this one's bad. Yeah, this is weird.
Yikes. Hatebreed. Yikes. Hashtag perseverance.
So many terrible jokes.
The rise
on the
of brutality.
Oh my God. I'll be your doomsayer?
Yeah.
Motherfucker.
Awaits you. You fucking bleed now.
Oh, everybody bleeds now.
Everybody fucking bleeds now.
Not just the one.
I fucking hate you.
Okay, so the very first drummer that Hatebreed ever had, and he wasn't in the band for very long. It was, what year did they say it was? Oh, yeah, in 96, 97, right around when Satisfaction as the Death of Desire came out. And apparently he took a turn down the life of crime.
All of his prayers can't bring him back. It's his last breath.
All the prayers in the world won't get you out of jail, dude, because you just got convicted of felony murder.
Oof.
First-degree burglary and criminal possession of a firearm. Back in 2014, he killed a 56-year-old guy. So he said he went to this guy's house with the plan of stealing some pills or money. They claimed that the guy that he was robbing dealt pills and had a reputation for keeping large sums of cash in his house. So the drummer said that the gun went off accidentally during a struggle and found out that he died after seeing it on the news.
Woof.
So he could face up to 90 years in prison when he sentenced May 26th.
So this dude's killing people and robbing them while Jamie Joss is on stage doing high kicks.
Saying, show me your boobs.
He's having a good time and this guy's down a dark f***ing alley. Drugs are a motherfucker.
Marty Friedman, what's your deal, dude?
Doesn't like shaking hands, apparently.
Is he a germaphobe?
That's not the reasoning he gave.
Yeah, he says, shaking hands if you're a guitar player, it's like my tool and everybody's tool. Okay?
Tool guy.
And you get these big guys and they're very excited. They'll squeeze the crap out of your hand and it's really kind of stupid. Guys come and tell you that they've loved your playing for 50 years or however many million years and then they squeeze your hand so hard that you can't play guitar anymore. I just don't understand that. But, you know, it's a necessary evil, I guess. I just try to avoid it as much as I can.
Okay.
Dude, come on, man. You know,
He goes on to say, I definitely have someone prepare my audience and tell them not to shake my hand because I have to go to work and I can't do it. And it's really not because I'm an ass, but it's because I want to play guitar the next day. Like, are you going on like Debbie Does Dallas? You're going to like f***ing shake 900 hands in one day? I don't think that's really a thing.
I mean, I can't wrap my head around this. Like, I can't see the logic in that.
At least just be honest. Be like, and if he's a germaphobe, just be like, I don't want to touch you dirty motherfuckers. Because he's right, dude. If I was sitting there shaking people's hands, the first thing I'd have sitting to my right would be like a bottle of Purell.
Yeah, no joke. Which is understandable.
Be like, dude, if you just shook like 90 dudes' hands, you know, like half of those dudes just d*** off like within 4 hours from, you know, ago. or whatever. Everybody just took a
and just walked out, and the light went off.
What do you mean? You look giving me that look like super guilty, like that's you.
So
like, you're that guy,
dudes. So this is fucking totally off on a different thing, but on my Facebook feed, it blows my fucking mind. My jaw just dropped. Brand new bantamweight champion Miesha Tate.
Oh yeah, I've
seen beat
now.
Fucking Holly Holm. Holly Holm beat Ronda Rousey. Miesha Tate beat Holly Holm. Now Miesha Tate's the champ, so it's gonna be Miesha Tate versus Ronda Rousey. On the other side of things.
Wow, you should post that on the KISW Facebook page.
I'm about to right now, dude.
It's gonna light up.
We're gonna get so many likes, dude.
Shocking news, Sharon Osbourne says she caught Ozzy in bed with the nannies. Not recently, but because Sharon is like this queen bee fucking entrepreneur business lady. She had to hire 4 fucking nannies for her kids because she just didn't. Was like, I don't want to. Okay, you guys raise my kids. Anyway, so... she'd say they'd always be traveling. It makes sense. You know, obviously they were touring. So she called the nannies the bane of my existence, saying they were all wanting to be celebrities. They were all wanting money. I caught 2 of them in bed with Ozzy. She clarified she'd caught the 2 nannies in compromising positions with the Prince of Darkness at different times, adding that Ozzy was, quote, out of his mind on drugs at the time. So she said she finally stopped hiring nannies and started hiring mannies.
Mm-hmm.
Guy named Big Dave. He says, never trust a nanny, only get a manny.
So Behemoth bassist just blasted venues that charge percentages for merch sales, which is kind of a new one on me, but not all that surprising. So he was saying, it's super important for us to bring our merchandise to the people, and they know that they can buy some unique stuff at the shows, which is much appreciated, because this goes directly to us, and that's great that it's happening. Some venues, they start charging bands for selling their merchandise, which causes bands raising the prices of the merchandise. Sorry, this is obviously translated. I was 3 nights ago counting everything that we need to leave in the venue. It was 42% altogether. So this is becoming a bad trend between the venue and us and everything. It's becoming like a mafia. People should be able to get whatever they want for the prices that are fair. How do you guys feel about
42%
this?
42% is f***ing insane. First of all, that's like half. It's like, give me half your money. Like, what the f***? Are you serious?
Right.
I'd be like, no, get out of my face. We just won't play here next time. You know? But it's the kind of thing where, like, I guess if you signed an agreement or a contract, you got to fork it over because they'll just take your ass to court because it's cut and dry, you know?
Well, who's negotiating these contracts?
Right, because exactly.
Because Behemoth is a big enough band where they're selling out the vast majority of the venues that they're playing at this point in their career. So they could just go play.
I don't know.
Anywhere.
Is this something? Is he talking about like in the North Americas, or is this something in like Europe where they're dealing with this, or like
it's not
because I haven't heard much about this. They don't do that.
It
here.
doesn't say where exactly it was,
dude. Because my band, when we opened up for Suicidal, we made like $600 in just selling T-shirts, and if they'd be like, give us 42%, I'd be like. I'd flip the table and knock over the glass of water and just run out the back door.
For touring bands, they take a small percentage, I think, off the top, or they just ask for a certain fee.
Well, I can see like a flat fee. That's fair.
Be like,
Corazon does it.
Call it, what do you, I mean, do they? Really?
Yeah. That's why, like, Charlie Pena, you know, Charlie, he has to literally count the shirts before and then after the show and then give them a percentage. He said it's annoying as shit. Not every venue does it, but some do. Corazon does.
Wow. Hmm. Did you guys hear the ruckus with Leftover Crack last night?
No, what happened?
So let me jump on here real quick. The current top post on the Leftover Crack Facebook page. Let me read it for you verbatim. F*** El Corazon in Seattle.
Is this what Leftover Crack posted?
21 hours ago. Okay. The staff changes, but the bullshit always stays the same. 17 years later, they still f*** it up. Never again for us.
Hmm.
So it's been there's 88 comments on it right now. It's been an interesting, because it's like all of my friends that work the security there are all on it commenting on it.
What did they do? What happened?
I don't know the details for sure, but from what it sounds like, they got into an altercation with one of the security guys because somebody was trying to do something they weren't supposed to do.
It sounds like a Leftover Crack thing to do.
Right. And it was a sold out show.
Smelled like
I don't know. I don't know the details. I look forward to going down there. And in fact, I should have mentioned something to you guys before you went down there earlier so you could get the details for me. But
yeah.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, like, I think that's fucking lame to do as a band just of any genre or for any reason, because That's just so unfucking professional. Yeah. And if you got yourself into that situation,
they're punk, bro.
You probably earned it.
Punks.
Yeah, no joke.
P-U-N-X. Dude, this is super cool, though. On the other side of things, fucking legit dudes. Bruce Dickinson, super savage. He is a he is a believer in the world of flight. And he put his money where his mouth is, and he has invested $360,000 so far, 250,000 euros, in this thing called the Airlander 10, which is the largest aircraft ever. It's a hybrid air vehicle, which has can stay airborne for up to 3 weeks and will be vital in delivering wow. several tons of humanitarian aid. He said, you want to put a hospital in Africa? You put the whole hospital in the side of this thing. Whoosh, start the generator, deliver your hospital. So this is why he said...
Hey, you guys need a hospital? Yeah, cool. I'm just going to put that in my airplane.
He met the late investor Roger Monk, and he decided to put the money where his mouth is. He said he told his wife, I'm about to put $100K in a big bag of helium. It may go up in smoke. People have to dream. Unless you can dream something, it's never going to happen. He added, I'm not expecting to get my money back anytime soon. I just want to be a part of it. Being a rock guy, I could put it up my nose or buy a million Rolls Royces and drive them into swimming pools, or I could do something useful. There are very few times in your life when you're going to be a part of something big.
That is so awesome.
So, yeah, man, that's fucking rad. I'm sure he'll make some money back in the end, but, you know, for the time being, he's just helping create something real badass with the money that he has.
It's the size of a football field.
So fucking cool.
That rules. Yeah, I hope that happens. I would love to see that in my lifetime.
Oh, it'll happen.
I want to see some weird shit happen.
And Iron Maiden will get their own.
KK Downing looks like he's having some doubts on leaving, having left Judas Priest.
Downing syndrome?
Yeah, I guess you could call it that.
Fuck.
Can you do me a favor and just like slap yourself in the fucking face real quick?
No, I'll do it.
That sounded good.
That was so unbelievable.
So, it's been 5 years since he retired from Judas Priest, and he's been saying that one of the only hypothetical reasons he'd get back together with the band would be for a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction.
Ooh.
So he's like, hey, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, hook us up, motherfuckers.
How is Judas Priest not already in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
That's a good question. That's a damn good question.
Well, I hope so.
Let's see here. There's one other. Okay, he said, obviously, they have Richie in there, Richie Faulkner. Maiden's done the three-guitar player thing, but I don't think there's room for an extra guitar player in Priest. Priest has always been a two-guitar band, so I can't see that working. We'll have to see what happens next.
Dude, get this. This is pot calling the kettle black right here. Slayer's Kerry King says that Iron Maiden and Metallica are living on past successes.
Okay.
Look at yourself in the mirror, bro. I mean, I dug some of the Slayer songs off the new record, but I also dug some new Metallica, and I also dig some new Iron Maiden. Neither of all three of those bands release a solid album.
No.
They release some good songs here and there.
There's like three or four good songs.
Yeah, but don't give them shit when you're doing the exact same thing.
You know, I didn't think I never thought I'd be saying this, but you know what old school band is still releasing good material right now? Freaking Megadeth, man.
Yeah.
They're the only one still that has put out a decent album in the last couple of years from that whole crew.
He did admit, though, that Slayer is to some degree resting on its laurels. He was quoted as saying, we're living on our history for sure, but so is everyone else. Yet we're the ones trying to push ourselves forward. I would say Iron Maiden and Metallica, no offense, are living on past success. Metallica has toured forever on the Black record, which is a lot of people don't like. I actually like. It's heavy as can be. Is it Master Puppets? Of course not, but it's a great record. Iron Maiden is living off of first three records. Have they made good songs since then? Yeah, but they haven't made great records. I like to think we're still making great records. As much as people came out wanting to hear Raining Blood and Angel of Death, they also want to hear Disciple or even Implode.
If I was in one of those other bands, I'd be a little fucking miffed by that. I mean, I'm sure they don't
no
give a
Here's another thing that irks me. When someone says no offense.
No offense, but.
No offense, but.
Here's a statement.
It doesn't mean you can be a master and just say some bullshit and like just get off on it and be like, oh, he said no offense. It's fine. He said some really offensive up things about us, but he said no offense. No big deal.
So that.
You.
Yeah,
that yes, means... offense.
Well, that's why Phil Anselmo's in so much trouble right now. He didn't say no offense.
No
first.
Offense, but white power.
Jesus. Here's the last thing I want to say on this, and this is what stood out the most to me. Kerry added that Slayer's success is measured through concert attendance, not through record sales.
Mayhem Fest.
My barometer is the live show where people show up. Thank you for ruining my point. That means people are into the music, whether the record is selling or not. They have it, they know it, and we can play it, and we have them sing it right back to us. That's pretty much how it shows me people are still into it, regardless of sales. Thank you, Kevin, says the guy who almost single-handedly ruined one of the biggest heavy metal tours of all time. Congratulations, Carrie. So, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, basically is the end of my statement on that.
Good job, Carrie.
I think you're becoming a little too disconnected, bro.
Yup.
You gotta deflate the balloon a little bit, bro. Bruh.
Damn. Metal Shop's Backstage Pass is a very interesting place, but we have to calm things down a little bit this week on episode 58, because it's time now to...
58? It's like 87.
87. Off. All right, it's episode 87, guys, and it's time to turn things down a little bit, get a little bit more artistic, and to look into some of the lyrics of the most f***ed up death metal bands out there. This week, Ian will be reciting the lyrics to Guttural Secrete from their album Reek of Pubescent Despoilment. The song is called Coprophilic Asphyxia. Take it away on Brutal Poetry, Too Hot for Radio.
Obsessing over piss and sh**, fecal orgy sh**-stained I sit. Gagging from the stench so vile, suffocating with a smile. Puking on myself, regurgitating fecal matter. Feels like razor blades carving up my throat.
Ugh.
Self-indulgent narcissism, giving myself deep incisions, mixing with my blood. Blood clots begin to form in my veins from the blockage of brown. Losing oxygen to my brain as my body shuts itself down. Laid out, my cadaver is lifeless, covered in a pool of my own shit. The stench grows as flies start to swarm, claiming my body as the home for their unborn.
Jesus. Well, that was totally f***ed up. Thank you, Ian, for making sure that you will go to hell.
Thanks.
That was Guttural Secrete. That was Metal Shop's Backstage Pass. And that was totally f***ed up. Hey, see you next week.
Hey, should we put that obituary interview on the end here?
F*** yeah.
All right, man, let's do it up.
I think they'd be into Guttural Secrete. Here's Brutal... Here's Obituary. God damn it.
See you guys next week. Peace.
99.9 KISW Metal Shop. My name is Kevin, and we're here back in the obituary van, or bus. I'm sorry, it's not a van. It's quite a nice bus, and they are in Seattle tonight on the Cannibal Corpse Cryptopsy Abysmal Dawn Obituary Tour, watching some NHL. He's riffing out. Doing a little, getting ready for the show. How's it going today, man? How you doing?
All right, how you doing?
Good. Doing great, man. Very excited to check you guys out tonight. I've got the show, obviously, but I'm going to try and come back and at least watch a few songs of you guys. First off, I wanted to ask, there's a lot of fucking epic obituary riffs. What is your top obituary riff of all time?
Oh, Lord. That's a really funny question, because we have, like, thousands of riffs. For me personally, Chopped in Half, maybe?
All right. Chopped in Half.
I'm just calling one out, I guess, and Chopped in Half.
Chopped in Half, right on. You've got had the same three core members since 84. What's the key to keeping it together for so long with a lot of bands, like, having revolving lineups and whatnot?
First off, we're friends, you know? The Tardies and I have been friends since, like, 1980, so we're basically like family at this point, you know? So that's a big key to it. We're all mature nowadays. We can deal with each other.
Yeah.
And, it's cool, you know. We write good music together, and I think that's it. Be friends.
Looking at, like, the obituary song writing process, what's the process like?
It's a couple different ways. Sometimes I'll come up with rhythms at the house, just up by myself at home, hanging out, and maybe jamming on the guitar, and I come up with something cool, and I say, cool, and I'll remember it or record it down and bring it to the studio with Donald. Me and him will get together and try to work it out into a song, and sometimes it's just, we're just jamming together, hanging out, and in between maybe practicing some songs, I'll kick out a riff, and Don'll be like, what's that, you know, and we, next thing you know, we're writing a song.
Yeah.
And that's usually the main two ways it usually happens, I say 9 times out of 10. And sometimes, I mean, we physically sit down together. Okay, let's try to come up with something. And then it's a whole other process of just tooling around, you know. Like, he might start a drum beat, and I'll try to riff to it. And,
yeah.
And we'll hit record, and if we find hear something that we like, we'll, you know, maybe turn it into something. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
And it's magic from there. So, obviously, there's, like, the big four of thrash, like Slayer, Metallica, Anthrax, Megadeth. If you had to name a big four of death metal, what would it be? Because I think there's a couple of them here on the tour.
There's different generations of death metal.
For sure.
So, I guess we'll just, I don't know. Maybe we'll just deal with our generation of death metal for, like, Obituary. And I'd say, you know, Cannibal Corpse is definitely one of them. The man, Death would be one. Obituary, I think, would be one.
Yeah.
There's a million other ones you could throw in there. Yeah. For me personally, I think Autopsy would fit in there very well as a. Another,
Deicide?
Yeah, Deicide would fit in there too, definitely.
Awesome.
Can't really whittle it down to four. That's kind of an unfair question, especially on the top of your head.
Yeah, it's pretty difficult.
All right, so obviously metal fans get pretty wild. What's the most bizarre fan interaction you've had throughout the years?
I don't know. That's weird. Bizarre interaction. Yeah, last night there was a bear in the crowd. Wow. this fan wore a full bear suit, you know, like a... Looked like a giant teddy bear.
Wow.
He was headbanging. It was pretty funny. We were all cracking up, man.
That's awesome. So your last record, Inked in Blood, I believe, is that your first on Relapse?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Is there any plans to follow up 2014's Inked in Blood?
Eventually we're going to record some new songs. We've actually got a couple songs from that actual session that we recorded and never finished.
Cool.
So we're going to finish those up. We may add some live stuff that we recorded. And do like either an EP or maybe even a full length in between doing another full length studio album. So after this tour too, we're gonna start, you know, writing some new stuff. But yeah, there's no specific date.
Yeah.
But we definitely have some stuff that we can put out.
We've
been tooling around, you know, we've been talking about mixing this stuff and getting it done. So I'm actually recording some stuff on this tour as well. So.
That's awesome.
Never know, some of this stuff might slip in there.
This is Trevor from Obituary. Anything you want to say to the metal shop in the Seattle area?
Yeah, if you're listening to the show right now, you're not at our show. So what are you doing? Yeah, check out our new stuff when we do it. And thanks for being fans. It's cool.